Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Hello, and welcome to this Friday edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and Family Talk is the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. Today's guest on the program is a good friend of Dr. Dobson's, and maybe a familiar voice to you as well, Mr. Bob Walaszewski. For 27 years, Bob was the director of Plugged In at Focus on the Family. Bob is passionate about giving parents the tools to help them make wise media choices for their children and families. He stopped by the Family Talk studio recently to talk with Dr. Dobson about his 2011 book entitled Plugged In Parenting, How to Raise Media-Savvy Kids with Love, Not War. Bob is a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ and just a fun guy to be around. Let's listen now to his conversation with Dr. Dobson on today's edition of Family Talk.
I'm James Dobson, and I want to reintroduce you to a longtime friend and colleague, Bob Walaszewski. Bob and I worked together at Focus on the Family for many years, where he was the director of the Plugged In ministry. Bob and his team reviewed and rated movies and other products from the entertainment industry, and among other things, thousands upon thousands of parents depended on their recommendation through the years. In fact, Bob, I remember many of them saying that they would not take their kids to any movie until you had signed off on it. There are thousands of people out there who feel that way and probably still do.
Yeah, we were so honored. I mean, we had 13 million visits a year, which if you do the math is over a million visits average a month. It was a huge audience. It still is. And people primarily came for movies, but we did video games. We did television. We did popular music. They're even doing apps these days. And so it's been a wonderful, wonderful ministry for the body of Christ to have that resource. And you know, we just say, thank you, God, for opening the doors. And to this very day, I'm honored.
Well, that's where you and I first developed our friendship. Yes. And our relationship. Now that you have semi-retired, you and your wife, Lisa, have moved to Hawaii.
Yes, yes.
Well, you're going to have to explain that one.
Well, our son was stationed on his second deployment in Afghanistan, and our daughter had been 10 years at the time, now 11, going on 12, in Hawaii. And we were thinking that the time had come to semi-retire, and it was either Afghanistan or Hawaii. It was a tough decision, Doc. Afghanistan did not call my name, but Hawaii did.
So. And you've been there for a couple of years.
2 years now.
And do you mind telling them that you sold your house recently and you bought a 3-acre plot? And right on the ocean, looking straight at it.
Yeah, we plan to build.
Do you have any feelings of remorse for all the rest of us?
Yes, yes, I do. But to make it happen, we're moving in with our daughter to save a few dollars while we build. And things are slow over there on the building side of things. We think it might take a while. But yeah, we're looking forward to that day when we walk into that house there with that view.
Let's go back to Plugged In.
Yes.
What were you really trying to accomplish on behalf of families?
You know, I'll go back and I'll say this. And some people that are listening now to Family Talk may disagree with me, but that's okay. I think I'm right on this, having 27 years experience. But if I had to grade the body of Christ generally, A, B, C, a D, or an F on how well they do in honoring Jesus with their entertainment choices, sadly, there would be a lot of Ds and D minuses. And some people are doing well. They're really training their kids up well. But I think there was a whole lot of C minuses and D pluses in that realm. And these were parents that are overly taxed. They're overly busy. They've got so much on their plates. And they want, you know, thriving children. We all do. And they say, I want my child to be sexually pure. I want my child not to get involved in drugs and alcohol. But you know, media honoring the Lord. I mean, I'm sure that's important, but somehow I made it through my junior high years and I made it through my senior high years. I'm sure my kids, they're raised in a Christian home.
That was a different world.
It was a different world. And the entertainment was, even though it was bad, it's nothing like it is today. And I just want to say, you know, mom and dad, let's get it off the back burner and let's put it on the front burner. So the mission of Plugged In is primarily to rally the body of Christ and just say, Jesus really does care about what we watch, what we listen to, the video games, how much time we spend even on good things. He cares. And it would behoove us to find out what his opinion is and do it his way and not just trying to muscle our own way through life doing it our way.
Do we really have to explain to parents that the entertainment industry, on their exceptions, but that industry has an agenda? They really do want to twist and warp your kids into believing what they believe. And from our point of view, they want to take them to hell.
Yeah.
And do they understand that? And if you turn your back and you don't control that area and try to teach through it and set some boundaries and limits, you're going to lose your kids. And that's never been worse than it is right this very minute.
It's true. But I will say, on the positive side of that same equation, and I agree with you 100%, Doctor, is I've never seen more positive entertainment out there at the same time. It's like this pendulum has swung, split down the middle, and swung to the nastiest and the foulest and the most violent of all time. And it swung the other way to, you know, where Christian films can do well at the box office. I often, when I speak publicly, I'll say, what is the most watched film of all time? Oh, Gone with the Wind or Star Wars series or whatever. But it's actually the Jesus film, Campus Crusade for Christ.
True?
Yes. And it's Crew now is the ministry name, put out the Jesus film in 1979, and go to the website. It says 228 million people made first-time decisions by watching the Jesus film, now translated in 1,500 different languages. Is Jesus anti-entertainment? No way. Not if a film can bring 228 million people to him. So there's some great stuff. But you take War Room, you take Fireproof, you take Courageous, you take what's happening in the Christian film industry. In this dark pit, there's a little bit of bright light shining, and I'm so glad, because when I first started to focus on the family, Dr. Dobson, there, I mean, you had The Hiding Place, and you had Billy Graham films doing a few Worldwide Pictures, but there wasn't very much. And toward the end of my career at Focus on the Family, I started seeing, and we were so excited to see, it was almost a Christian film a month my last 4 or 5 years at Focus. Now, the problem is marketing dollars need to go with that, because if you ask the average person who was in church, did they know that this movie was coming out and were they aware of it, 99% of the people in the congregation would say, no, I never heard of it. But if you knew it, there was a whole lot of films coming out. And to this day, that is still true.
Describe what you did at Plugged in terms of rating. I don't believe you said, don't watch this, don't see this, but if you do, here's what you're going to encounter.
Right. We resisted that temptation, with a few exceptions, to not say, go to this or don't go to this. We just try to let people know what was in it.
You're really trying to teach something
exactly.
to parents.
For instance, like the misuse of Jesus' name in a film. Dr. Dobson, to me, that's like fingernails down a chalkboard. I cannot tell you how... disgusting, degrade, that just, you know, when I'm watching a film, and I kept track of how many films, I saw approximately 140 films a year. So every 2.2 days I was seeing something. So I was really exposed to a lot of stuff. And that, besides the sexuality and the violence, just that alone, you know, was horrific. But for some people, and in the body of Christ, it doesn't seem to bother them. And I just wanted to say, you know, that is one of the Ten Commandments, that we're not supposed to misuse the name above all names.
When I do find myself seeing or hearing bathroom language and things that offend me, I can deal with that if I have to. But when they start talking about my Lord,
oh, me too.
When they use Jesus' name particularly in vain, I'll get up, and I shouldn't be there in the first place, and I'm not. We don't go to R-rated movies and things like that, largely for that reason.
I feel that absolutely to the nth degree, and yet I've just talked to people where they're like, I say, oh, I didn't like that film. I wouldn't recommend it. It had two misuses of Jesus' name, and somebody goes, really?
Yeah, they
never
even
noticed.
Hear it.
Never noticed.
They didn't even hear
you
it.
You know, there was 20 F-bombs in that film. Really? I never heard it. How could you not hear that?
We've become desensitized.
We have. It is the frog in the kettle so often.
Well, talk about what LGBT is doing to our children and teens in the entertainment industry.
Let me give you one example from my experience when I was at Focus. Disney movie Beauty and the Beast came out live action. They had done the animated, and then they did a live action version. Bill Condon was the director, who's a self-proclaimed gay man. And I actually love this film, Doctor, except for a couple scenes. One of them happens at the very end of the film. They're dancing in a ball-like situation, and a man and a woman are just, they're a rollicking dance number and whatever, and then a man taps the woman on the shoulder to get in on the dance. So you then have two men dancing. Bill Condon, the director, said, "I've got the first gay film Disney ever produced." And he was proud of it and happy. Why? Because he knew that kids were going to be targeted in a subtle way. Some people say they missed it. I didn't miss it. Many people didn't miss it. A lot of kids didn't miss it. They were wondering, why would two men dance at a ball together? And again, targeted by the director at least. And why didn't Disney as a company say, "No, we don't want that. Take that. It's going to be too controversial. We don't want that scene in there." They didn't cut it. They
because
were happy to have it in.
They're taking us somewhere.
That's right.
It's progressive.
That's right.
It's ever more lewd and offensive to people of faith. I have an article here that somebody put before me today as we were just arriving in the studio. The title is, "Disney Channel Introduces Its First Gay Teen Romance on the Series Finale of Andy Mack."
Yeah.
You tell me they don't have an agenda there?
Exactly. Who needs that? You don't need it for adults, much less for kids, targeted for kids.
What's going on in Disney World?
Well, you know, they've done the gay days for the parks for a number of years, which basically for families, it was the year to say, when is it? Because I want to avoid that as a family. But they have been called one of the most LGBTQ-friendly companies in America. How do you get that? You get that because, you number one, they know that you're not going to fight their agenda and, in fact, will promote their agenda. And, of course, those of us that are conservatives, those of us who care about the Lord and about our kids, we're having to say, where is culture going?
Yeah, and we know where it's
we know,
going.
Yes.
And we know who's driving it.
Yeah, the enemy of our souls.
Well, how do parents get a handle on so many things? I mean, we talked about Disney today. I mean, there's YouTube and Facebook and iTunes and Netflix, and it goes on and on. How do parents understand and come to terms with what they're going to do with their children?
Doctor, let me give you a small example of something that I discovered probably around 2016. I found out that there are at least a couple of apps for your cell phone that if you were a discerning parent and you would check your kids' phones and you looked at their apps, you would say, they all look pretty good to me. There is one, it looks like a calculator app, but when you press it, it asks for a password. And under that password, when you open it up, it allows kids to store pictures or video of any nature that they want. Now, why would someone come up with an app that's totally designed, hidden app, designed so that someone could lock out their parents or lock out their wife or lock out their husband from their app and not know what they're doing because they're hiding pornographic videos and images over and over again? There's one that it's an app that makes it look like you can control the volume of your music. But again, it requires a password. But how can parents know? It's tougher than it's ever been, Doctor, because of even things like that. But at the same time, we have to be in our kids' world. Now, this is common sense, but because we're busy parents oftentimes, when was the last time that we sat down with our kids to ask them, what are your favorite bands? What are your friends into? If you had any video game that you could buy or have tomorrow, what would it be and why? What are your favorite movies that you've ever seen? What do you consider your top favorite? And maybe even just listen and sit back. If you hear something that disturbs you as a parent, to give it a little breathing space, but come back to it in a few days and say, you know what, your dad's probably made a mistake in that I've allowed too much in this home, and I haven't really been as intentional about sending a healthy boundary in our family. But from now on, I want to. Let me tell you what that boundary is. We describe it. And actually, I even wrote up years ago, a family covenant for God-honoring media choices. You know, if we're trying to set some guidelines in our home, we can talk about them, and I think that's very important. In my family, we actually wrote it out on a piece of paper, and we all signed it and dated it. So there's four of my wife and I, my son and daughter. Here's a little bit. I won't read the whole thing, but it says, as family members committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and wanting to live out personal holiness as He commands, we pledge from this day forward to honor God in our media choices. Despite poor decisions that we may have made in the past, we desire to secure the blessings that come from obedience. And it goes on and on. And it said, and it's not that we earn God's love, we know that, or His trust by that. But one of the principles I try to instill when I speak publicly is that we need to be Christians who hate sin. And when we have a family covenant that guides us, it basically says we don't want to take in things that God sent His Son to die on the cross. They have to be so terrible that He would allow His Son to be crucified. We don't want to take in those things that glorify sex that's outside His will, or drugs, or rebellion, or corruption. I mean, we want to take in stuff that's encouraging and inspiring, and that's essentially what the covenant does in a nutshell.
Well, your conversation that you were describing with your probably teenager sounds conciliatory, but the truth of the matter is it's in your face. In many cases, it's the kid saying, I will do what I want to do. You can't keep me from doing this. And the parent saying, you will not. And there is a confrontation that is pretty brutal. And how firm do you get in a moment like that?
Well, I remember I opened my book with this. I got a call on myself. I was in a meeting. And as soon as I got out of the meeting, I called this guy. I call him John. John said, hey, I walked in last night. There was a certain Disney show on. I don't know much about it. It looked like this boy-girl thing wasn't great. My 15-year-old daughter was watching it. I said, honey, get off that. I don't want you on that. Just turn the TV off and whatever. My wife blew up at me. She said, and my daughter, you know, she was mad at me. And before we went to bed, we all resolved one thing. We would call you, and whatever you said about whether she could watch or not, it would be the answer. No pressure, Dr. Dawson. But it goes to your question. Can it be a war zone, even in a Christian family, when it comes to what we watch and what we listen to? Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why it's such an honor to be talking to families through Family Talk, because I know it can be, but if I can just help our Family Talk listeners be more intentional about it, more loving. Fathers especially, us dads can be this way. We can be a little harsh like this dad I just described, where it's basically, turn it off right now. Does that not breed some rebellion? I think it could. Would there be another better way to handle that? Hey, I don't know much about that TV show that you're watching, hon, but right now, can we turn it off and can I learn some more about it? You tell me why you like it, and I need to learn some, and then we'll have to decide whether it meets the family standard in our home. A much better way than just, honey, turn that off. I don't like it. Dad, why? I don't know, but turn it off. You know, it breeds rebellion.
Bob, before we close the program, you wrote a book on this subject called Plugged In Parenting, How to Raise Media Savvy Kids with Love, Not War. That came out several years ago, and they can still get it through Amazon.
They still can, but I'd recommend getting a copy of your book, Doctor, Bringing Up Girls. You allowed me to write a chapter for that, and I will never forget that. I'm totally honored. As far as I know, it's the only time you ever let somebody write a chapter for you.
I've done about 9,000 radio programs through the years. I've never had a guest say, I like your book.
Better than my book.
Never has anybody said that. You're the first.
Well, my book's out of print.
You got a chapter in my book, Bringing Up Girls.
That's right. And my book is out of print. You can get it on Amazon, yes. And I wrote it to be very principle-based, so I tried not to name movies and bands, and there's a little bit of that. But for the most part, I try to instill principles and scriptures. Like, you won't find anything in the Bible that says, thou shalt not watch a slasher film. Thou shalt not be a gangster rap fan.
Well, it does say, I will not set before mine eyes any unclean thing.
That's right. And above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, you know, yeah. We need to have that pasted above our television set, you know.
This is based on principles. That's what you've included in your book.
Yes.
What's the number one principle?
Number one principle is that we have to instill in our kids, based on godly principles itself, how to handle media. Again, because God didn't say thou shalt not, you know, when it comes to TV wasn't around, movies weren't around. But when you tell your kids that, hey, Colossians 2:8, don't be taken captive by empty and vain philosophies, and basically so much of today's media is empty and vain, it would behoove us to use Colossians 2:8 as a principle to guide our life. Here's another one, WWJD principle. The bracelets were popular, what, 25 years ago?
What would Jesus do?
Yeah, what would Jesus do? There was lunch pails, there was bumper stickers, and the fad went away. But the principle behind that should never go away. I like to say it differently. If God the Father decided to have Jesus be born of a virgin in today's day, and he was walking the planet, and Peter came to him and said, Jesus, at the movie theater this week or on Netflix is so-and-so, can we watch that? Would it be a get thee behind me Satan moment? Or would it be a war room moment where it would be, absolutely. By the way, I got to put a little plug in for War Room. War Room was a film about an elderly woman taking a room in her house and turning it into a room to have prayer every day. And then I read so many stories about people say, we have a fourth bedroom in our house. It's full of junk. We took all the junk out, and now my wife and I get up every morning because we saw the movie War Room, and we get on our knees and we pray. The impact of a film, it can be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Bob, we're running out of time. You have a podcast.
My daughter.
From Hawaii.
Yes, we call it the Talking Story Podcast. And Doctor, I need to get you as a guest on our podcast sometime, even though...
What's it about?
Well, my daughter, it's her baby, but she wanted to highlight ordinary people making an extraordinary difference. So for instance, I mentioned the Kendricks. We interviewed them talking about how they got into the Christian film industry. Dallas Jenkins, who's doing the TV about the life of Jesus called The Chosen. We've interviewed him as well. And not just Christian film, just and a lot of unknowns that are making a difference. And for you, it'll be an extraordinary person doing an extraordinary difference when we get you on the Talking Story
podcast. Is
that
an invitation?
That's an invitation, yes, sir.
I appreciate you, Bob. I appreciate your passion for righteousness and trying to spread it among families that are already trying to serve the Lord. That's primarily your constituency, isn't it?
It is. And I don't know where that passion came from. When I was a youth pastor.
You did that for 7 years.
Yeah, I did it for 7 years. But to be honest with you, when I started, I was not a very discerning person when it came to my media choices. Halfway through, it's a long story, but halfway through, the Lord got a hold of me, and I had a passion back then, pre-focus, and I started talking about it to my youth group. By the way, I would love to tell our Family Talk listeners, get your youth pastor on board with this topic, because it may be that he, like me in my early days of youth pastoring, really doesn't have a concern for this issue. Or your pastor. Do you know that if your pastor has done a sermon about honoring Christ with entertainment choices, take your pastor out for a cup of coffee and say, you know, I love your messages, but would you do a message on this? My kids need to hear it from you as you preach from the pulpit.
You'll scare them to death.
But it's good. And also model it, Mom and Dad. Hypocrisy is the quickest way in a family to kill this whole thing I've been talking about today, about honoring Jesus with our entertainment choices.
Bob Wolicheski, it's good to have you here, sir. Let's do it again.
Yes, Doctor.
And when you get back to Hawaii, remember your friends here stateside.
Well, when we get this house completed, it's going to have an extra guest bedroom, and surely, and your name is on it, so come visit us.
We'll do that. Blessings to you, friend.
Thank you.
Give my regards to Lisa.
Will do.
You just heard Dr. Dobson's recent conversation with his good friend and colleague, Bob Wolicheski. In Psalm 101, verse 13, King David wrote, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. And then in verse 4, he wrote, I will have nothing to do with what is evil. You know, God really cares about what we allow to enter our minds. We need to understand that media is a powerful thing, and that what we dwell on can shape how we act, what we believe, and who or what we worship. To learn more about Bob, his book Plugged In Parenting, and his recent ministry endeavors, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. And of course, if you have any questions about Family Talk, the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, or today's program, you can always give us a call at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Thanks for making Family Talk a part of your day. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope you have a great weekend, and be sure to join us again Monday for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.